Hello there, boys and girls. It's another episode of the Variable Podcast. On this episode, I have my good friend Corey as a guest. We had a brief conversation about a few different topics. Corey's always a great guy to talk to about pretty much anything under the sun. There are a few little audio gaps. I'm going to try and edit them out, but if you hear any jumps in the audio, that's just because Skype was being a hooker as we were recording. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, if you do, or fuck it, even if you don't, feel free to rate and review and leave your comments and suggestions and whatever else on iTunes or Stitcher or Podomatic. Thank you. Thanks for doing my podcast again, man. I really enjoyed the first one that we did, and been looking forward to having you back. I don't know, there's a few things that and I've been thinking about that I kind of want to talk about on the podcast, but one thing that I did last night, I was fucking bored, and my daughter woke up at like 2:30 in the morning, and you know, it took me a while to get her back to bed, so I was wide awake by the time I got her back to sleep. So I was bored, and so I went on Pal Talk to just fuck around, maybe troll people a little bit or something, just out of boredom. And I don't know, I started to, you know, like I was looking around for like some fundamentalist Christian rooms to maybe, you know, have a little bit of fun in. I was like, that's, you know, I don't really want to do that. I'm not in the mood for that. So I went into this, found this room, and I'm not going to give the guy's name out because I don't want to give any kind of promotion to this guy, because to me he's pretty clearly a hack and a scam artist.
George St. Pierre. Come on, just say it. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him too. But no, this guy was claiming to that he was very adamant about the fact that he had psychic abilities.
Oh, but, fuck.
But he didn't like to be called a psychic. Because, I don't know, for anybody who's not familiar with Pal Talk, and this is Pal Talk Express. I guess there's two different kinds of Pal Talk. But what I was in was a forum where basically a room, and this guy was doing basically the format is like a live radio show where he's taking questions from people who are in this room. Both questions that are typed out in text, and then also you can, you know, get on the microphone and ask questions of this guy. This guy was someone had asked him something about being a psychic, and he immediately went on the defensive and saying, well, he doesn't appreciate being called a psychic, that he is a sympathetic, I think, or something like that. Yeah, sympathetic or something. I don't know.
Nuts?
Yeah. Full of shit is what he was.
Yeah, fucking track.
So I'm like, oh, well, okay. You know, paranormal, you know, this guy's basically claiming to have psychic abilities. Okay, this is interesting. So I bring up some stuff about remote viewing. And I'm like, hey, what's your thoughts on, the remote viewing program and da 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 da. He immediately has this story, this backstory of, well, see, his brother and his father are both high-ranking military officials. And,
how convenient.
Very convenient, right? And so because they have a high security clearance, he can't talk about any remote viewing. He doesn't want to discuss that. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's been a lot of stuff published. This has been acknowledged. The Army, they acknowledged that it was going on up until, I believe, like 95 or something. I'd have to look into it further, but they acknowledged that they did do research into this area.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, pushed them a little bit further, and I was like, there's also, not just here in America, but the Soviets also, have released documents that were previously classified regarding their research into remote viewing, which is interesting.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about it. My tendency with anything like that is to, kind of call bullshit until somebody comes forward with some really...
Yeah, you've got to...
Peer-reviewed...
Exactly. You've got to have empirical... You got to have empirical work done on it for, years and years of time. And that's when you can finally go, okay, this is a definite something to look at situation. Not that it, is foolproof or anything like that. But, coming from the political science field, you realize that, it's just as interesting to be plausible and not proven completely true as much as it is those things that are just obvious.
Right. Because a big part of it is just perception.
Yeah.
The leaving that question mark in people's minds, that's extremely useful.
Right.
And, so for that reason, I can see where it's an interesting field. But anyway, so I wait a little bit longer, and he starts talking about how he's done work with people regarding repressed thoughts and what do they call it? Tapping into past lives and things like that. And just all this different shit. And so I'm like, okay. So you've worked with people on repressed memories, things that were really strange. I was like, and this is where I was like, okay, well, I've got something here that I can ask him about. I wasn't making this up. I had a recurring dream for years. I mean, at least a couple times a week for years. Extremely vivid, really unpleasant, and I have no idea what it has to do with it. Basically, I had this recurring dream that I was tied down to a table and that my arm was being dissected.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, very detailed to where, to this day, I remember it very vividly. Hearing, the drip of blood hitting the floor below me and, just this sense of, not knowing where I was at. Just really weird. And it, when I was a kid, now I'm talking, I don't know, maybe from 8 or 9 until, I don't know, maybe I was 11 or 12. I had this dream on a really regular basis. An exact same dream. I wake up at the exact same point in the dream every time. And, you know, this is legitimate. I'm not making this up. I wasn't fucking with this guy or trolling him.
Yeah. So
I ask him. I'm like, hey, you know, I had this recurring dream when I was a kid. You know, I didn't have any kind of weird, nothing happened to me when I was a kid. I never experienced any kind of...
Well, except you had the biggest dick in class, so that was really kind of...
Yeah, but how that ties into my arm being
true
totally dissected, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Envy.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, maybe.
One of the kids with a small dick.
All the little dick dudes got together and tied me down.
Definitely. The cock gnomes.
Yeah, cock gnomes. Oh, fuck. I think a mutual friend of ours just got a new nickname on Twitter.
What's up, Marsh?
So I asked him about this, and he just flat out no comment.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, so then I'm like, man, fuck this dude. You know, this guy's full
totally
of shit.
Sense.
This guy is playing on people who they kind of want to go for the ride. And he's willing to take them for the ride on a, I don't know how often he does this little, you know.
It's not even a podcast when you're doing that shit on Pal Talk.
Yeah, I don't even know what to call it. I mean, he had a name for it. You know, he had like a name for this program. I can't remember what it was. You know, like 1-900 bullshit. Something. But anyway. And his ID, his screen ID was Dr. Something. Which, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that should tell you so much right there. If that guy has a doctorate in something, Jesus. I just hope it's nothing to do with medicine, because the thought of this wacko fucking performing any kind of medical procedures on someone is horrifying. But anyway, so I'm in there, and I'm like, okay, so this guy is clearly full of shit, and so I thought, well, you know, he had mentioned, you know, that he has family members who are in the military, and he's. He claims, you know, he basically implied that he was very familiar with remote viewing on a personal level, but that he didn't want to discuss it. So then, I'm like, oh, hey, remote viewing. Who have I heard talk about this recently? Stephen Greer, who was on Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
Who talked extensively about remote viewing. I'm like, so, are you familiar with Stephen Greer's work and what he's got going on with the Disclosure Project and what he claims to have, stumbled upon through, kind of seems like, you know, from his story, it started out with remote viewing and then, you know, things like that. Okay, this guy has no clue who Stephen Greer is. Never even heard of him. I can't think of the other guy's name. There was another guy who was talking about, remote viewing on Rogan's podcast, and I looked his name up.
Wasn't it Tim Ferriss?
Yeah, Tim Ferriss did, but that wasn't the guy that I referenced. It was somebody. He was involved with research at an East Coast university.
It was Yale, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was at Yale.
I'm pretty sure it was Tim Ferriss that was talking about.
Was it Tim Ferriss?
Okay. Yeah, where he was talking about they had the school for it, and
you're right.
The creep story about how, like, they went to a convenience store every time, and it would come out as, like, a bunker, and then they found out that it was, and
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. And I said, well, you know, Tim, are you familiar with Tim Ferriss? You know, and I relayed that exact same story about, you know, when they did the remote viewing on what was now a gas station, or I can't remember if I got it backwards, but you know, these people who were doing remote viewing were we're drawing what used to be there, not what was there now. And like this, you know, multiple people came up with this. Guy hadn't heard of this guy either. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I was like, okay, you're not familiar with these guys. These guys are really open with their experiences. I mean, you can go on the internet in both cases, and they have websites with, you know, huge amounts of information, giant resources of data as far as what they've worked on and what they're working on an ongoing basis. And I was like, you're not aware at all of either of these guys. And again, I got the no comment thing. So at this point, I was like, I'm just gonna fuck with this dude.
How obvious can it be that you're full of shit when every time someone tries to like bring something up to you, you're like, no, not gonna talk about it. It's like, really? Yeah.
It's like, well, what the fuck are you willing to talk about?
Nothing.
Yeah, he was basically talking in circles, being extremely vague, and kind of like, you know, like he would make these statements that were like alluding to the fact that, oh, he has this information or he has this inside knowledge on things, but I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
You know, he would always kind of like bring, you know, he would bring the topic right up to the edge of where somebody who was not full of shit would, you know, drop the hammer and you know, really, you know, put some knowledge out there. But then he would pull back and say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to discuss that because of this, or we don't want to get into that because of that. And yeah, so I just kind of sat and watched for a little while, just out of boredom. And I watched, you know, people, you know, just kind of, it was interesting because I had gone in there. You know, like I said, my first thought was to go in there and kind of fuck with fundamentalist religious people.
Right.
But the more I sat in there, and it just dawned on me, it was like, you know, this is really pretty much the same thing. Only it's way newer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to someone like me, it's equally obvious that it's bullshit. I don't care if what you're saying was said 3 days ago for the first time or was said for the first time a couple thousand years ago, if bullshit is bullshit. So, you know, to me there's not a huge difference. But, you know, in sitting and watching this guy fucking spew this bullshit and these people, you know, needing, you know, wanting to go along with it, wanting to be a part of this. Because I don't see how else a person, and you know, some of these other people, you know, were getting on the microphone and asking questions, and they didn't seem like they were like mentally disturbed or impaired. I mean, they sounded like, you know, at least competent individuals, if not, you know, maybe a little misguided, or very misguided, but still, you know, they didn't sound like crazy people. Right. They didn't sound like they were mentally handicapped in any way. But they just really had this desire to like go along with it. And I started to see like a parallel between that and people who just really want a religion to latch on to.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was interesting. And then so finally I was like, you know, okay. So what, like my last thing was I got on there and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna lay this out there. I was like, okay, so for someone who's interested, I said, you know, you're not willing to, you know, I said, you've given me, you know, a kind of BS cop-out excuse for why you didn't want to discuss remote viewing. And then you just simply, you know, for one question I had. And then the other two times you're just like no comment with no kind of reason why. You just, oh, that, I don't want to talk about that. You haven't heard of other people who maybe aren't, I wouldn't say in his area of expertise, but have experience in that area. And he's, oh, I just don't want to talk about that. I'm not familiar with them, which I don't see how the fuck that would even be possible. So I was just like, okay. So for someone like me who's interested in this stuff, which I don't, let's be clear, I'm not really, other than from an amusement standpoint. or from, you know, a psychological standpoint, you know, it is interesting from that aspect. But I said, you know, I said, clearly you're not willing to talk to me about these things. You know, I've asked you questions, you know, I've been very specific, very clear. I'm not trying to bait you in any way. I feel like I've been pretty fair with the questions I've asked. I'm not being unreasonable, and you're just not willing to talk to me. So, like, so where is a good resource for some peer-reviewed work on the things that you're discussing? And this guy comes back with, well, you know, that's the problem, of course, is, you know, we can't generate any real peer-reviewed stuff because we can't get funding because da-da-da-da-da. And so, and before he could, like, he stopped talking for a second. I don't know if he was, I know what he's doing, but stopped talking for a second, I guess, to line up his next...
His butt plug fell out.
Yeah, either that or he was skimming through his notes for, like, you know, standard cop-out number 175 that he was about to spew. It was like...
So basically his butt plug fell out.
Yeah. And I said, okay, so you can't get any funding for this, but the reason you can't talk about it is because you're alluding to the fact that the military is still heavily funding research in this area. I was like, which one of the two is it? Or is it... Are you saying that this is all just a giant black op and that you can't talk about it? And again, he went to the no comment thing. He didn't even say it that time. He just typed it out in text.
Wow.
And I said, okay, so, you know, back to my earlier question, is there any resource for any information on this? And he says, well, we have the American Journal of, you know, paranormal psychology, blah blah blah. I can't remember the name of the journal. He said, but you have to be a member of the society in order to receive that. And he said, you know, even if I wanted to show you the articles that would absolutely prove what I'm saying, I can't because of you know, the conditions of being a member. And people were still, I mean, instead of what you would expect to see is like an ocean of just people in text and on the microphone talking about, man, you're full of shit, dude. You know, fuck this. And people just leaving in droves. People were just like, well, he would tell us, but he can't because, you know, he's got all these books that prove it and he could easily prove it, but... he said to somebody that he wouldn't, so instead he just talks about it, but not really. I don't know. It was funny.
Yeah, they're just people that are still asleep. You know, they haven't awakened yet. And I kind of look at it like this. It's like, people like that aren't stupid. They just don't understand fully yet. You know, like, I would say I wasn't fully aware of all of that sort of mentality of complete bullshit and being able to kind of decipher all that until, like, 2 years ago, you know, until I started listening to Rogan and all these other alternative ways of thinking and, you know, fact-checking and, you know, hey, let's really look at this instead of taking some fuckhead's word for it. And, a lot of people just don't want to go through that bother, honestly, and they just go, fuck it, I don't even care who's right. I'm just going to go with this guy because he sounds competent. Fuck it. Yeah. You know? And it is what it is, and I think that that's changing, though. I think within 50 years, I think that that sort of thing will start to get demonized. But, I mean, it's kind of like when people tell me that, you know, America in 20 years is going to be completely different. Yes, but it's not the way you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's like, you know...
America's completely different now than it was in the early 90s, but...
Exactly. But that's because a lot of shit happened that made that so.
In 93, nobody knew what was going to be going on today.
No.
I mean, if you were to say in 93 things will be totally different in 2013, well, yes, absolutely. But as far as details go, nobody saw what's going on.
I know one thing. They definitely wouldn't have. There were probably, I don't know how many people back then, but definitely the very low minority that would have, that were saying the computers are the future. Like, everybody back then. I remember, I was a kid. Everyone's like, what the fuck is this? That thing's stupid. It's going to go out of style. It's not going to last. They'd been saying it already for a decade plus.
Yeah. Well, that is one interesting thing, because I remember when I was, I must have been maybe, I want to say 8 years old, maybe a little bit older. So this would have been like early 90s, like probably 91, 92, sometime around there. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather on my dad's side had retired after working for, I think it was Bell South at the time. You know, all those telecom companies, you know, bought out each other and then resold and then bought out. You know, there was a huge shuffle there. Mm-hmm. But before all that happened, I believe it was Bell South that he worked for. And he did tell me. He was like, you know, because like you said, everybody else was kind of looking at computers at the time. You know, if you're one of the few people who had a computer in your home, it was really more looked at like a toy. It was kind of like, oh, well, yeah, you can basically, if you've got this printer that runs off this giant long spool of paper that feeds in like a giant roll, then you can print out things just like a typewriter, and it has some other functions, and you can play very basic games on it, but it's, they really kind of looked at it like a toy. Whereas my grandfather, I remember him telling me after he had retired from, I believe it was Bell South, he said, you know, eventually everything is going to be tied in with it, with each other. He said, your television and your telephone and your computer are all going to be tied together as part of a data network. And he said, and you're going to be able to have conversations with people face-to-face, like a phone call, only you're going to be able to see them in real time. And that was about as specific as he got.
Now, that's still really fucking specific, though.
Yeah. Now, as far as, like, the internet and the exchange of information and things like Wikipedia or Google or anything like that, he didn't say shit about anything like that.
Well, he never said anything about the scope. He just said that's what it's going to be, you know?
Right, right.
He was probably thinking probably America, you know? Like, he probably was thinking
right.
The
like,
world.
The country is going to be linked and, you know...
Yeah.
But, you know, even that, you know, to me is a really...
Oh, yeah.
It was really far-sighted for him to...
Fuck yeah.
To see that coming. Now, who knows who he had talked to at that company. You know, maybe he talked to some guy who was in research and development or something who kind of hinted around about, you know, things that they, you know, goals that the company had long-term. Who knows?
All right. Well, like, I remember my grandpa on the flip side being like... I remember I had I had computer class like as early as like kindergarten or maybe first grade. I don't know if we had it in kindergarten, but I know we had it in first, second grade. And I remember talking about it and him being like, why do they even bother with that goddamn computer class? It's not going to amount to much. And, you know, now he has a fucking computer. I've had to show him how to do things. He has a brand new HD TV. Because my parents bought it for him. And it's just hilarious because...
You ever fuck with him and you're like, yeah, you need help with this thing that was never going to be useful?
I have, like, when I was, like, trashed or something. And he's like, oh, whatever. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah. But it's just weird, man. And the next thing, what frightens me is I look at what we have and I go, we already have a fucking lot. What else is there other than teleportation, if you think about it? What else is there? 3D printing. That's going to be the next thing, but
that's
basically teleportation in a way. I mean, you're not going to be able to 3D print humans yet, but I'm sure you're going to be able to.
And there actually, I read just a couple articles about people who are working with combining additive manufacturing technology, you know, 3D printing, and using biological components to basically make a 3D printer that would function to generate simple structure. What they're working on now is very simple structures, like making artificial right. skin and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a matter of time.
Fuck.
I think that we don't see it coming any more than what people 20 years ago saw this coming.
Well, I think we do, though, in one sense. We have seen in our generation, like you and mine, we have seen Did you get what I said at the last part?
No.
What I said was, in a way you're right, and in a way you're wrong. Like, in the sense that we do know, unlike the people 20 years ago, that it will change drastically, because it did. And, however, we don't know what direction it's going.
Right.
You know. But, I mean, other than that, yeah, but that's every generation. Think about people, you know, in, like, 1901. And imagine, they would have never thought that there were going to be aircraft that people rode normally. You know what I mean?
Like, on a regular basis, just like, well, got to take a flight. And it makes you wonder, you know, is travel, you know, to my thinking, you know, the next step would be like going into low Earth orbit would mm-hmm. be the next step in that evolution, I guess you would say. People will be, or I guess, you know, whether it would be to travel from one location to another on the Earth, you know, extremely fast.
Yeah.
Or for whatever reason, whether you're going to go on vacation to a space station or whatever. That'll be the next thing that, you know, people will be very skeptical at first, and I'm sure there will be some, you know, inevitable hiccups and accidents along the way, but eventually, it's a, you know, that'll be another, you know, just as mundane and common as what flying on a plane is now.
Yeah.
As long as the TSA doesn't piss people off to the point where we just go back to fucking...
You know what? I have a theory, and a lot of people are going to hear this, and they're going to say, whatever, it's bullshit. But I think the TSA is dying. I really do.
Yeah. I don't see how they can keep up such a giant bureaucracy that pisses off so many people.
Yeah. Well, it's not even that. It's that they're... And I don't mean that they're dying in terms of that's a positive for civil liberties. I mean, there's going to be something way more intrusive called sand cameras. I don't know what the real name of it was, but Rogan talks about it all the time. They have it developed. It is possible. There will literally be cameras on every part of the country. So when you do that, there's no need for TSA. They know what you have before you even get to the airport.
Right. Right. So, I have seen, I know what you're talking about. Cameras that are so small that they just distribute it like basically in an aerosol form. They could distribute it like from an aircraft over a giant area, and then, you know, they land everywhere, and they're so small that you don't notice it, and that would be, I suppose that would be the next logical step.
It's the only way it can go.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. That, or, you know, we fuck up and
nuke each other to death.
Some fuckhead gets his finger on the button and we blow ourselves to shit. Or we have a couple more Fukushima incidents and...
They'll happen because natural disasters are only intensifying.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
yeah, for sure. Considering that most of the human race is... not at all looking at this and saying, fuck, we need to really do something about this. Instead, they're going, we'll be fine. We have, you know, we have these things in place that make sure that, listen, when human beings create something, it's already flawed. It's already fucked up.
Right.
You know?
And when we have an effect on the environment, I'm trying to think of the positive effect we've had on our environment.
And nothing.
I'm really coming up short.
Yep, nothing.
Unless you really don't like ice caps.
Yeah,
you could look at it that way. If you're like, fuck the ice caps, we don't need them, then I guess you could, you know, extrapolate that we're doing great. But yeah, it's things like that. It's like, okay, we're fucking up the atmosphere. We're fucking up aquatic life in the oceans. We're melting the ice caps. Okay, what are we doing to fix any of that?
And not a lot.
Yeah, not much. We're doing a lot of talking.
Yeah. You know,
there's a lot of guys who are giving really great, inspirational, well-meaning speeches. And I'm sure raising a lot of money, which is then, you know, the majority of it is going to administrative costs and things like that, in many cases. But
it's just bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's the only reason it doesn't work. You could have fucking Einstein come back from the dead, brush off the dirt, and tell everyone what we need to do. And unless the people in power look at him and go, fuck yeah, he's right, let's go, all that doesn't mean anything. But I will say that the most important part of that is the whistleblower, is the person going, hey, what the fuck? Because it's become a problem with people lately. They say, well, you know, you go on Twitter, you say this, you do this, and, you know, you don't do anything, though. And it's like, motherfucker, I don't see you on Twitter talking about shit that matters. I think if you're on Twitter and you're talking about shit that you feel about that are wrongs, I think you're doing well. I don't think that, you know, but people look at it so negatively and people are so pessimistic. They want to believe that unless you've got the fucking pitchfork in hand and you got your torch ready to defend the town from Frankenstein, that if you're just saying Frankenstein's bad, that that's not good enough. But it is good enough.
It's a starting point.
Yeah.
It's a starting point, and it has to begin somewhere. And like you said, it at this point, I think it would really take something really, really drastic to get us to forget about all the petty nonsense that we seem to be content to concern ourselves with. I mean, for fuck's sake, people are still worried about gay people getting married.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What the fuck are we going to get done if we're still going back and forth with each other over whether or not two people that have the same junk downstairs can get married or not? Who gives a good fuck? I could care less.
Because that Bible said it's bad. Literally, yeah. That's why. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
It really is the only reason.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I believe the Bible mentioned the proper way to go about treating your slaves more often than it mentioned
how
you shouldn't practice homosexuality.
Also, the Bible is a pretty misogynist fucking book.
Yeah, because it only mentions sodomy. It doesn't mention
rape of women at all.
No. Well, it does mention rape in the fact that if a woman is raped, then
stoner.
Either the man who raped her is now her husband, or they should both be killed.
Yep. Not that the woman's a victim or anything.
No. That she should then marry for the rest of her life and bear the child of the person who raped her. What the fuck? What, even if you believed that was the word of an all-powerful being, why in the fuck would you want to listen to him? Because anybody who would write that kind of shit down is a psychopath and an asshole.
Cunt.
Yeah, well, and immediately, I mean, even if, I'm sorry, but even if it was proven somehow through some miraculous way, like they found, fuck, I don't even know how they couldn't, but just for, as a hypothetical, if they were to be able to prove that book is divinely inspired, I would still say, fuck that. I would still have to be like, well, I guess I'm going to hell then.
No.
Because that, whoever wrote that's a fucking dickhead.
But I still think it would still be warranted to question it, because what does divinity even mean? Okay, you were inspired by something outside yourself. Well, fuck. My friend Chad can tell me an idea, and that's divinity by that definition.
Right.
You know, and just because something's divine, you know, it has that nature of it's this pleasant thing. It just means it's a holy thing. But holy is only used to describe something outside of human realm. That doesn't mean it's fucking good by any means. You know, we took it that way because we're dumb human beings.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We're silly people. And actually, now that we're on this topic, I did have an interesting conversation also last night. It was actually kind of positive. I don't know, kind of confusing in a way, but also positive. Mm. With a guy who said he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was asking him, I was like, you know, well, I don't know, he had made some kind of statement about, you know, for him it wasn't about the specifics of the book. And really, you know, for him, Jesus was just a term that was convenient for him because, you know, he's an American and, you know, Christianity is the predominant religion in this country right now. And so for him to refer to his idea of God, you know, it's most convenient for him to just refer to it as Jesus. But that's
a really fucking stupid individual. Sorry, but...
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a so stupid
I asked him. I kind of pressed him further, and he had alluded to the fact that he had had some very powerful experiences whenever he was a younger man. I asked him what he was referring to, and finally it comes down to, well, him and his friends took a whole bunch of acid, and he went on this I met God trip, and basically never came back from it.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Yeah. It was interesting, though, because, I mean, he was, as off the wall as this guy was, he was more open-minded than the rest of the people who were calling themselves Christians. Because he came out with this, you know, then you're seeing, you know, as he's talking, all these people are at the same time typing these comments into the text in the room. And, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, this guy's just, you know, he's having acid flashbacks. He's burned out, you know, he's probably a drug dealer, you know.
Oh, yes, of course, because if you have...
And they're going crazy, and the best thing was, whoever the admin for the room was, wasn't at their computer. So he was like, well, normally I know this would get me thrown out, but apparently the admin isn't here, so I'm just going to keep fucking talking. And I was like... You know, that part right there, I kind of had to respect the guy.
Oh, yeah. Right,
fucking awesome. So you're willing to admit that, to you, it's not really about, you know, the Ten Commandments and Jesus said this and that. For you, it's, you know, you have whatever your sense of spirituality is that's important to you, that you tapped into while you're under the influence of a drug. But instead of saying, oh, well, that was LSD, that means that, you know, maybe hallucinogens can play an important part in opening my mind and bringing new ideas and making me look at life differently. He kind of, in a way, I guess, looked at it as God had used LSD to enlighten him or set him on the path that he was supposed to be on in life. And, you know, I didn't want to be a dick to the guy. So just like, well, you know, I've had experiences and feelings, not necessarily like I had met God, but definitely experiences that can't be put into words. And, you know, the type of things that I would imagine people are shooting for when they, you know, join a religion, you know, they're seeking these moments of enlightenment. And these moments of clarity and new perspective on life. And, you know, so I told him, you know, I've had those same kind of feelings, but I didn't ascribe it to Christianity just because that's the predominant religion of my society. any more than I would prescribe it, any more than I would attribute it to Buddhism or Hinduism or anything else. I attributed it to the substance that I had taken, and I said, and who knows what that means. Maybe that's just simply a alteration in brain function and brain chemistry, which is quite likely. Or, you know, maybe it is some, you know, some interaction with this organism that our brain has that allows us to, in some small way, tap in to some unknown consciousness or some unknown intelligence that we are otherwise not able to communicate with on a daily basis. I say, either way, what does that have to do with Christianity? And I don't know. It's like the line from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, you know, with a little luck, he was ruined forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just kind of felt like by the end of that conversation, I had kind of like, I don't know, flipped that guy's head, kind of flipped his whole worldview on end. I hope I did anyway.
Yeah, hopefully so. Because there's too many fucking people paying into the lie. And they go, I want to be part of the commune. Well, be part of a commune, but be part of one that you believe in, not just one that you fucking follow because it's the thing to do. That's what gets you in trouble. Ask the Nazi children back in the fucking World War II time. Ask them how it was when a lot of them didn't believe the fucking code, but they went with it because their friends did. Right. Yeah, look where they are. You know, and it can be a good thing, but most always it isn't. Just use your fucking head. Just be who you are. And if it leads you to a commune that you love, then fucking go for it. But don't be some shill dude that's just, you know, selling fucking bullshit. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, to me it was, I really got the sense that this guy was, it was almost like he knew better. But it was just more convenient, and, you know, I don't know, I didn't get into details with the guy as far as if he has a family or what, but I kind of got the sense that for him it's just easier to label himself a Christian and to, instead of maybe, because he said that, you know, he hasn't done psychedelics since then, he's not done any hallucinogens since that experience when he was like 15 or 16.
How does that make any sense?
Quote unquote, met God. Yeah. That's what I asked. I said, well, wouldn't you want to talk to him again? Wouldn't you want to maybe expand upon whatever conversation or interaction you had the first time? He said, no, no, no. You know, it was so profound. It was so intense that, you know, I don't feel like I should ever do that again. Which makes no sense to me, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, so I really got the sense that this guy was just kind of like, you know, leading lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense. It was kind of like that's what this guy was doing, and that's kind of what he's resigned himself. That's the way he's resigned himself to live in regards to his spirituality.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
It was, he's just really a used car salesman. That's all he is, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't selling anything. He wasn't pushing his ideas on anyone, which is why...
Which is the odds.
Yeah, because, well, he didn't really have anything to sell. I mean, you know, he wasn't really clinging on to any one thing as being, oh, well, this is how it is. He was saying that, you know, well, it's... And this is where I have to tend to agree. I don't do that. I don't have an aggressive recruitment agenda towards making people more educated. If you want to live your life believing things that are... very easily disproven, or maybe things that can't be proven or disproven, that's up to you. You know, that's your freedom. As long as you're not out hurting people or preying upon weak-minded people, which to a certain extent, I gotta say, a lot of that is. But, you know, as long as you're not actively preying upon people, hurting people, you know, the way I look at it is, go ahead. You know, it's kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like a I don't know, it's kind of like the mental equivalent of the survival of the fittest. If you're dumb enough to fall for that shit, then, you know, go right ahead, drink the Kool-Aid. I hope it's tasty. But for me, you know,
yep.
I'm cool over here with my bottle of water.
Yeah.
That doesn't make one better than the other necessarily.
Exactly.
It's just, that's you, and no. This over here is me. And, you know, I think, you know, it's a matter of just respecting other people and being willing to coexist with people who don't believe what you believe necessarily.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of that. And that applies not just to religion, but to anything. I've seen so much amongst people who, you know, and the majority of them, you and I, both follow on Twitter, and they follow us, and we interact with some of these individuals on Twitter, and we see people who, for whatever reason, they just can't seem to agree to disagree on certain things, and then they want to take it into an argument or a debate, and it's an unfortunate thing to see, especially played out in a public setting like Twitter or something like that.
The worst thing about it for me is when people do that and then claim that they're all about positivity. What?
Right.
Really? Right. You argue all the time, but you're for positivity. Well, no, I'm for the truth. Okay, whatever, man. Like,
yeah. Don't even get me started on that, because then it's like, okay, so you have a good firm handle on what the absolute truth is.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And that's a whole other discussion, you know. But yeah, it's just unfortunate that people don't, by and large, people, it's all about this, you know, I'm on the team that's right type of mentality. The way I look at things is the correct way to look at things. And if you don't look at things the way I do, then you're kind of a dumbass, and I really should try and prove you wrong. But I'm doing this because, you know, I just want you to come on over to the side of right. You know, come on over to the winning team with me. You know, and that's why I'm arguing with you about whatever the topic may be. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I've seen it time and time again. And, you know, we'll continue to see it. It's just one of those things. I think it's the same, no matter whether it's part of, you know, this podcasting community that we're part of, or any other community where it's a group of people who are like-minded in certain aspects. But of course, we're all individuals, so we all disagree on something. I'm sure if you and I sat and talked about enough topics for long enough, we're going to find a bunch of shit that we don't agree on when it comes down to it. But that's okay with me, because you don't have to agree with me for me to consider you a friend, or consider you a peer, or consider you someone who is an intelligent person.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just where I'm at with, I don't want to go into a whole rant about it.
But no.
I think most anyone who's listening to this podcast is going to know what we're referring to. And, you know, just quit worrying about being right all the fucking time, because you're not going to be right all the time. That's the one thing.
No.
That is one thing that is probably the closest to absolute truth you can get, is that you're not.
You'll definitely be wrong.
Right. You're definitely. If you want to know something that's absolutely true, is that sometimes you're going to be wrong. That's the absolute truth. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes anybody who's listening to this fucking podcast, sometimes you're wrong too, buddy. And it's okay. We're human beings. We're all just trying to figure this shit out before the lights go out.
Yeah.
And on that note, Corey, I thank you for doing my podcast.
No problem, dude.
You know, I wanted to keep this one short and sweet. It's been a long day. Like I said, my daughter is, she's been in rare form the last few nights. she's getting more and more teeth, and with that comes a lot of late nights and a lot of you know, very short sleeping hours. But it's okay.
Right.
It's okay because it's still the, I'm still in the middle of like the best experience I've ever had in my life in regards to being a parent. To every day it's profound on almost on a level in a totally different way, but it's profound on a level like hallucinogens are profound on a level that can't be put into words.
Right.
Becoming a parent is profound on that in a totally different way. You know, having a kid is not going to cause a separation of id and ego or powerful hallucinations and synesthesia or anything like that. But it's profound to the point that you really can't put into words. So that's where I'm at. But before we go, I know you have a podcast yourself, sir.
Yep.
Where can people find that? They want to hear more of your lovely, smooth,
my sexy,
silky smooth voice.
My baritone voice. It is called Logcast, and it's basically the best podcast in the world. No, not really.
It's a very close second. Come on.
Yeah, right. It is like neck and neck. I think one day I was ahead of you, and then, yeah. So anyway.
We go back and forth on number one and number two.
Right, and Rogan.
Klitschko Brothers in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and Rogan's third, and he's like, God damn it. But anyway, that's over at loudyspeak.com, loudyspeak. I know it's weird. Those odd – it was Irishmen that made it. I'm not even making that up, by the way, so they have odd words. loudyspeak.com/ – is that forward slash? Yes, it is. podcasts/logic. I know it's a pain in the ass. I'm working on trying to make it just logicast.com, but – when you're poor, you got to kind of work with what you got. But it's a good show. There's a lot of variety over there. It's very much like this show, actually.
That's cool. So you're saying the host tries to sound more intelligent than what he really is, basically.
Yeah, actually, that is...
what's going on over here?
That is dead on, actually. That is literally what's going on over.
And you on iTunes?
No, you know what? I've tried to get on iTunes for so long, and the feed keeps getting rejected, but I'm on Stitcher, so look up Logicast on Stitcher, and I'm there, so...
Yeah, get your shit together, people. I mean, if you want to listen to it, I would recommend checking it out. If you're listening to this, you're going to like his podcast. I'll put
it's pretty, it's pretty good. I mean, you know.
And if for some reason my recommendation is incorrect, and you don't like his podcast... please,
you'll still like it.
Send all comments, suggestions, hate mail to what's your email address?
I don't have an email address, but my Twitter is I love tater tots. So if you have any hate,
any hate mail at I love tater tots. Now, any positive feedback, you can also contact at written consent. On Twitter with any positive feedback. That's
negative.
Right, and that's how you keep them separated, which I think is a really good idea. I think I think I might have to set something like that up too.
I think you have.
I think we can just feed. I think we can just both. We can just both direct any negative comments. You know, if you've got quote unquote constructive criticism, just go ahead for my podcast or the Logicast. Go ahead and send all that via Twitter to I Love Tater Tots.
Right.
And we'll get right back to you. And you know,
it's
if you get messaged back with what the fuck are you talking about, or you know,
all joke.
That's just us joking around. Keep at it, you know, be determined. Because that's our way of testing to see, you know, how serious you are about your suggestions on how we can improve the podcast for you,
like,
the listener.
Say you see, like, on our timelines, that Twitter, like, being like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Why do I have all these direct messages? Why do I have all these tweets? That's just us trying to, like, you know, make a fun little Twitter game. We just kind of like to go back and forth every now and then when we're bored. So don't even be skeeved out. Don't even be skeeved out by the name of the guy that's way different than both of ours. That's just a persona we like to keep. It's just basically a jailed account in case one of ours gets fucked up or something.
Right, exactly. That's our fallback account.
Performance art.
Right, right. Yeah, it's...
It's like Twitter performance art. We totally created a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and although the character can be a little bit douchey sometimes, he's a very lovable guy. And, yeah. So, any kind of, you know, any kind of responses hinting at confusion or telling you to fuck off with your opinions about these podcasts, just ignore that, because that's a test. You know, that's our way of seeing if you're determined or not. Seeing if you're serious about being a space monkey, or if you are a poseur, as it were. Again, thank you very much, Corey, for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And thank you, all you silly fucks, for listening to the podcast. I'm going to be... I don't know, I'll probably be doing a few more, and then I'm going to be taking a break in May.
So everyone that just heard that, in May, so starting in June, just exclusively start listening to Logicast.
Yeah.
And then once he comes back... Still exclusively listen to Logicast,
right.
But check in on his and see what's up, because, you know, this is a fucking great show.
It has its moments. It has its moments. Mostly thanks to the guests, like yourself.
Well, speaking of your guests, just real quick, I did listen to that interview you did with the Samoan Hulk. Good shit. That guy is a bad motherfucker.
Yes, he is. Stipe Miocic is fucked.
Notice how I was not even going to try to pronounce his name. That's what you do, people, when you're not fucking smart. You pick your battles.
It's Soa Pelele.
That's how it works.
I believe is the correct pronunciation. I asked him how to say it right. Because, yeah. You know, when you're talking to a guy who's like 6'3", 260, you say his name right. Even if you are fucking like 10,000 miles away from him. You say it right, because who knows? Who knows when you're going to cross paths?
He may fight Indy, right? He may fight Indy one of these days, or wherever you may end up, and
you never know.
Just might just fucking backhand the fuck out of you.
Yeah. Well, his first fight's in Winnipeg, in Canada, on June 15th against Stipe Miocic, and I know I won't be there, because Canada said "fuck you."
And it's also Winnipeg.
Yeah,
Winnipeg's literally the gutter of Canada. I think if you ask any Canadian,
like Detroit, well,
yes, actually, literally,
Canada
it
really
is
have
Detroit.
A Detroit. I mean, are there enough mean
Winnipeg.
Canadians? Are there mean Canadians, or are they just?
Yeah, no, I knew someone from Winnipeg, and he was straight up was like, it's fucking bad here, man. Like, I hear people talk about Detroit. That's Winnipeg. Now, people listening, if you're from Winnipeg and you're proud, I'm not saying anything about you guys. Just telling you what I've heard.
I am. And you know what? Winnipeg, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
and
fuck
again,
Winnipeg, actually.
If you don't like it, hit me up on Twitter, @ILoveTaterTots. With
Jet Suck.
Yeah, with a detailed and itemized list of why Winnipeg is the shit.
Right, do it.
If possible, send a link to a blog entry to @ILoveTaterTots. And on that, leave.
If you have a manifesto.
Yes.
If you have a manifesto,
send the Pastebin link to @ILoveTaterTots. And we'll get right back to you. And with that, we love you. And go fuck yourself.
Yes, we do. We'll